Greetings and may the peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndal and I'm privileged to be your host today. I warmly invite you to enter into another conversation in living the Catholic life. You know, we as Catholics always assume that our children are going to know the Catholic faith. Sometimes we think it's through osmosis. We just don't have that understanding of being educated into the faith. But it's a vital importance in our Catholic teaching to have our Catholic schools to be vital to our children. And what is a better gift to our children than Catholic education? Because it really steeps them in the mystery of Christ, who He is. It steeps them in the mystery of what's going on at the altar. It really brings them into the fullness of faith and to become great stewards for this world, not only for our city or our country, but for the world, and to really understand that we as Catholics are called out into this journey to bring others to the Lord. But, you know, it takes money to do that also. It's not free. We wish it were, because if all of our Catholics were invested in Catholic education, it would drastically reduce our education cost. But we need to continue on this journey to bring Christ to our children and to really bring Christ to the world. Today with me, I have people who are on a committee with St. Mary's in Spring Lake, the Catholic Church over there, and they are on a journey of building a new school. And I want to welcome today Tom Conroy, Ted Fricano, and Kathy Gagnon. Thank you for being here.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you for having us.
It's a joy to have you here.
Thanks for the invitation.
What's that?
Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, you're so welcome. Touching. You're so welcome. You know, as I talk about Catholic education, who could not deny what a better gift to our children?
Well, that's why we're here.
Yep.
When you have kids, why not provide as much as you possibly can that you're able to?
Exactly. And that's the understanding what you're on. You're on this pledge drive now for this new parish. I mean, this new school you want to put up in your parish. So tell me, first of all, if people recognize the name Fricano, you probably heard that many times on the pizza.
Right.
So we, if you need a pizza while we're on, give us a call here.
Aren't you nice? Thank you. You know what? Yes, I'm part of Fricano's Pizza in West Michigan. I own and operate the one in Muskegon. And, in relationship with St. Mary's School, it's kind of nice when I'm out and about that people are now starting to recognize me as the guy from St. Mary's School who wants to build a new school, not just the guy from Fricano's Pizza. So that's very flattering.
It is.
And that also makes me believe that this campaign has had a lot of success, a lot of good publicity, and it's going to see its way completely to fruition.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That is wonderful, and thank you for being involved in that, because we all need to be involved in our education for our kids. But I need to have somebody tell me a little bit of the history. Now, first of all, give me a history of who you are. Tom, let me start with you. I mean, we don't just walk up to a school and say, I'm going to be in charge of building process. Tell me your history with the church.
Yeah, I'll do that. I grew up actually around the corner from here, went to school at Immaculate Heart of Mary, grade school.
That's my alma mater.
And Catholic Central in Grand Rapids. And halfway through Catholic Central, we moved out to Spring Lake.
Okay.
I have 8 brothers and sisters. But in moving out to Spring Lake, we continued to commute to Catholic Central from Spring Lake every day for school.
Okay.
And then, but when we moved there, we became members of St. Mary's Parish. And so at age 17, and I really have not left. I went to Hope College, the Protestant school, for
good college,
4 years.
Yeah.
And but I have maintained membership and activity at Spring Lake all my life.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Been fantastic.
Wonderful. So you've been a member of the parish how many years now?
Man, you would ask me that. What, 17 from, 54 or something like that.
Now,
right? Exactly. Yeah, so 37, 30 years
okay.
or something like
wonderful.
That.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Fantastic place.
Kathy, how about you?
Well, we moved to the Grand Haven, Spring Lake area when I was 16. So I've been a member of St. Mary's Parish ever since then. And I went to school. I went to University of Michigan, and when I came back, my husband and I got married, and we chose to relocate there. So we've been involved in the parish ever since. And when we had children, we just knew that they were going to be going to St. Mary's School. So we signed them up early.
Wonderful. Are you a grave Catholic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we did not have opportunities for Catholic education where I was. So I was involved in religious education, CCD, and catechism, as we called it back in the 70s.
Yeah.
So we didn't have any Catholic schools, so that's why I knew that's what I wanted for my
children. I'm sorry, where were you raised?
On the other side of the state, in Vassar, Michigan.
Okay.
It's over by Frankenmuth.
Okay.
So,
and you didn't have a parish school at that time?
No.
Okay.
No.
But you stayed faithful to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Praise be to God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise be to God. And now you're involved in this capital campaign.
I am.
With St. Mary's.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And it's been a real fun journey. It's just fun to see all the excitement around the campaign. And I'm specifically involved in the follow-up committee, so it's just kind of keeping people abreast of the contributions and where we are along the line and keeping people educated on what we have to do and how close we are.
Wonderful,
yeah,
wonderful.
Great.
Well, Ted, aside from being busy with the pizzas,
mm-hmm.
What's your history with the parish?
I joined the parish probably in the early 90s as a single man.
Okay.
My mother and my father raised us, I'm one of seven, raised us Catholic. My father, who has passed away now 30 years ago, just a great man, made Catholic, the Catholic faith a priority in all of the children's lives, and I'm grateful for that. My mother continued that after my dad passed away. So, you know, I had gotten married in 2004 and started to have children, you know, quickly. And I had not ever attended a Catholic school. My nieces and nephews had. And when I started having children, unlike Kathy and Tom, is my sisters who enrolled their children at St. Mary's actually enrolled my children as babies. It was not second nature for me to have a child and enroll them at St. Mary's. But my sisters knew how wonderful St. Mary's was, how wonderful Catholic education was, and said, oh, by the way, Ted and Jen is my wife, we've enrolled your children as babies at St. Mary's. And we said, thank you.
Yeah.
And what a wonderful gift that was.
Yeah.
I'm simply a parent that brings their kids to school. I've been a parishioner of St. Mary's for quite some time. And, you know, you just, somebody says, would you be interested in being part of this campaign? And it is in my heart to have the Catholic faith and Catholic education being a very, very visible, thriving activity,
yes,
if I can call that, on the lakeshore. So I said, of course, I'd love to.
Wonderful. Now, do you all have children going to St. Mary's right now? Or had you have?
Yes. Mine have passed through. Yeah. I have two daughters that are now in 9th and 10th grade, so they went through St. Mary's from the beginning to end.
Okay. Kathy, you said you have some there?
I have one. My youngest is in 8th grade there.
Okay.
We've been at the school since 1997, so it's very sad for me that he's going to be leaving and graduating and moving on, but it's time.
Yeah, but you know, you have that legacy of having him going through there, and that gives you this impetus to work with the school that way.
Right.
So, As you looking at this new, we're going to get into this new endeavor you're going on. When did this first start to become a dream, a vision for this new school?
It was part of when we had Father Tony Venicich at our as our pastor in St. Mary's in around 2000. They did a feasibility study, and the plan was to first start out by building a gymnasium activity center, and then they knew down the road that we would need a new school.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's kind of two phases to this project. The first one is now completed. The gym, kitchen facilities, and extra classrooms are all completed. Now we need a new school proper.
Okay.
And that's what this Mary Seat of Wisdom project is.
Okay.
Deacon Jim.
But, you know, first of all, it's a wonderful thing that you've outgrown the other school. Is that what it is? You've just outgrown it?
Yes.
Yep.
Both outgrown it, and it's fallen down.
Okay. It's way too much to repair. It's time to put it together.
As I put once, St. Mary's current school, with dignity and with beauty and with grace, is simply at the end of its life.
Yeah, and it's time to move forward.
It is.
Time to move forward. So this vision started in 2000, actually. Has anything been done? You're talking about gymnasium. Has that been established yet, or that's part of this project?
No, the gymnasium's done, complete, being used. We have phenomenal basketball teams and utilize that gym, that win championships all the time. And
that
gym's there, so now we're ready to do the school.
Right.
And when the project was planned back in 2001, I mean, the structure of this facility, the walls have been reinforced for expansion.
Okay.
There is an elevator in there that is reinforced to take on additional floors. So even though in 2001 we had done a wonderful, you know, another capital campaign, a successful one,
right,
to enhance our parish, the plan was, you know, 10, 11, 12 years ago that someday a school would be built.
Right.
There was that much vision from Father Tony and then from Father Len after that, and currently with Father Dan. Let's see this wonderful plan through.
Yeah, yeah. And that carries through, I'm sure, to the parish.
It does.
With the people in there, too. Kathy, what's your involvement with this planning right now? What are you doing?
Well, right now, as the follow-up director, I just have to make sure that there are activities or events that are planned just to keep this in the forefront so people are educated on the process and how we're doing, what we still need. We're trying to reach out to all the parishioners and visitors, and so we have events that are planned almost every month. So last week we celebrated First Communion at our church, and we have a lot of visitors that came to that and to attend. So we made sure that there were brochures in the pews.
Absolutely.
And there's always envelopes. Tom and Ted make sure we always have envelopes.
We Catholics always have a lot of envelopes around, don't we?
So we do.
So there's a lot of opportunities that way. So we just have something almost every month just to keep people informed, and it's right out there. We also have a brochure and posters that have a percentage of the amounts of pledges that have been reached right now.
Wonderful.
And then what the percentages that we still
wonderful
need. So
wonderful. You know, and we're called as community. Mm-hmm. To invest in our children and in our parishes. I mean, that's what we're called to as Catholics. Mm-hmm. And it's vitally important that we engage in that process of building these parishes, because it really comes to the very heart of who we are as Catholics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know this is a daunting task, because building is all that takes on its own life sometimes. And who's in charge of really the building process? Is the group here, or who makes the decisions on?
No, that will they have formed. They already have a building committee in place, and that building committee right now they're just commencing, because we've hit a major milestone of $2 million of a $2.5 million campaign. So $2 million has been committed. That building committee now is starting to work with the architects, et cetera, to make this project bring it obviously to reality.
Okay, so that continues on. That journey goes on there too. If I might ask, who's the builder on this one? Do you know? Have you chosen a builder?
No, we do not know. That will be bid out to, I think, at least three different building companies that are capable
of doing
that.
Okay, so that's going to go to a bid process like everything else.
That is correct.
And I always laugh about that. I always say but when you're crossing a bridge, you know, sometimes I always worry that the bridge you're crossing has been built by the lowest bidder. So I want to be sure you get a good contractor on this one here.
Yeah, we will.
So when did you first get involved in it, Tom?
In this project?
Yes.
This project, well, I was a little bit part of the... We did a feasibility study a little over a year ago. I think that commenced January of 2013, so a year, not quite a year and a half ago. They did a feasibility study to get a study to see where the parish was at and see if the parish had the stomach. That's not a very good way to say it. But had the, you know, the commitment to put the new school on.
Yeah.
And out of that feasibility study, it said, hey, the facilities need upgrading. Okay. And that is really what it would address. So it's kind of part of that part of it. And then, you know.
So how do you take that feasibility study and present that to the parish to give them an understanding that this is not just a wish, but this is a need? What's curtailed in that?
Father Dan said, we need a new school. We want to see the plan from 2001 come to fruition. You know, when you're an active pastor, you hear a lot of stuff, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I think it was just time. I mean, we have an old school that is with beauty falling. You know, it's structurally solid.
And I think you mentioned when was the bed built,
yes.
Ted? Do you remember?
1952.
For $100,000.
Yeah. Right. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. You couldn't put the front door up anymore for that.
We still have the original brochure that they used.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a $100,000 project.
So, you know, you just go to the parish and you speak from the heart, you share facts, and you just have a conversation with your parishioners.
Yeah.
And you are engaged with them at all times, you are sincere with them, and you just ask them to support the parish. This is a parish-wide endeavor.
Exactly.
This is not simply parents of students. Furthermore, this new school, we also call it a new educational center because faith formation is exploding with wonderful numbers in West Michigan. Remember, we have students, you know, some 300 plus?
500.
Faith formation students who with our students from St. Mary's who gather. Now, these are students from all other school districts who come to St. Mary's to be taught a Christ-centered education. So this simply isn't parents of students who attend St. Mary's. This is a community-wide Catholic Education Center, and that is what is driving so much of this excitement.
Yeah, you know, it's at my parish too here in Grand Rapids and St. Thomas the Apostle. We have people who are outside the Catholic faith who send their children to Catholic education because they see the value of that education. And so I know what you're saying. It could be driven by all different people from all different denominations who really see the value to bringing their children to this profound education. And of course, we know, too, raising money is always difficult. I remember one of my pastors, Father Andicari, would stand at the Ambo, and he would say, you know, the good news is we have plenty of money to repair the church. We've got more money to put in new windows. He said, that's the good news, but the bad news is it's still in your wallets.
Oh, funny. That's a good line.
So, you know, we've got to somehow tenderly and lovingly go to our parishioners and give them the understanding of the need, not of a want, but of a need, that if we're going to continue this mandate of Christ to educate our children. And that mandate is given at their baptism, because we tell the parents when we baptize them, you to be the first educators of these children. And then we pass that mantra to the schools to let them continue to do that. So this is really a profound understanding of what we're called to do in our parishes. Kathy, as you go through this process, what are you learning through this process?
Well, I think Father Dan summed it up really well last night. We had an event at St. Mary's where Bishop Walkowiak was there. And Father Dan just said, you know, our person is made up of our body and soul. And he said the world just spent so much time on our body, and he said, you know, we really need to develop the soul.
Yeah.
And that's what happens at St. Mary's School, and this is what's going to happen and continue to occur at the Educational Center, because there's so much need for that, and people are just screaming for it. Parents want it. Kids don't know they need it. And it's just that balance that everyone needs between feeding that spiritual side of the person.
You're absolutely right.
That's how I see it all kind of coming together. And Father Dean has also said what a difference this is going to make in the community, like what Ted said. This is going to be a community center. And people are watching us right now. People are looking for us for guidance. And how is this going to happen? And how is it going to work? And what is it going to be like?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly. Now, do you have, in your community, you probably have some people who could be considered significant donors to the project, who might be in your parish that are really some of the backbone of the money that's going to come into this?
Yes, we've had some good donations come into this project.
Yeah.
Yes, of the $2 million, we've had some very nice donations.
Yeah, and that's wonderful because, you know, people who are given a great income, so, you know, they're called to be stewards also and to give back the community. And their philanthropy is so wonderful because they really show their dedication that, you know, they see their gift from God as their income and they have that ability to share. And that's a wonderful thing they can do that. But here's another tough one is who has do one of you have a background in construction or one of you have a background in building or something like that that leads you put this on this panel like this?
No, we don't. Our panel is to raise our group in this committee, and
we used the Breton group to do this, and it involved what 250, 300 parishioners were all part of this project that really got kicked off. What, Ted? September sometime?
September, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we're three people sitting at the table with you right now, representing 200 to 300 okay. wonderful volunteers that have shown their
It's a whole process to do this, to raise to raise the money. So we're not really considering so much the physical part of the building as getting the funding going.
The capital campaign.
Get the capital campaign. And how do you reach those people? What makes, you know, what makes them tick? You know, there's a lot of people that are naysayers when you start a project. Why do we need a new school? You got great public schools.
Yeah.
You know, you got Grand Haven and Fruitport and Spring Lake and this and that. And, you know, and so you've got to have a story and a message as to why St. Mary's, and I tell you, there's some real, Deacon Jim, some strong reasons what we do, and we are the very best at what we do in our area with the kids. And we'll tell you about that as a show, this program goes on, but we are, there's nobody better that does it better than we do.
No, and we want to talk about that because, you know, the understanding of a parochial, of a public school, they do a wonderful job in educating our children. And thanks be to God we have those schools. But a Catholic education brings the fullness of the teaching of the human person into the reality of everything we teach and the reality of who we are as Christ's prophets and kings and priests. And really we have this understanding that our children are not only educated on a level of chemistry and math, but they're educated in the love of God. Okay.
So important. I tell this story, and I just want to tell it again, if nobody would mind. I was my son Max is 9, and he's in second grade. And there was a day that I was looking in the backyard, and probably looking at the deer eating my plants. And there was in the neighborhood, you could hear a siren coming into our neighborhood. And Max was sitting at the counter eating his lunch. And I turned around, and Max had stopped eating. He had bowed his head, and he had raised his hands to his forehead, and he was praying the Hail Mary. And I just kind of approached him, and I said, well, that was nice, Max. And he looked at me, and he says, Dad, we learned that at St. Mary's. We pray the Hail Mary because we are praying for those people that might be in need. That is an intangible gift in addition to the science and the math. The Christ-centered foundation that our children are learning. When you're asked to be part of a campaign, you kind of say yes, and you say it quick because it's important.
Yeah. And you know what? You can't buy that mentality.
Right.
That is only infused into us through our teachers and our educators who love the Lord. And that's why it's so profound that our Catholic education take place. You know, and unfortunately, I had the privilege of doing a Catholic Schools Week here in Grand Rapids. And we really tried to emphasize, and I don't know about your school, but in many of the high schools today, there are many avenues for parents to pursue for educational help, for monetary help. Some grants are available through many of the areas there that people just don't explore enough to find out. I know it can be expensive, but you know something? It really calls for a sacrifice. And if we don't use that word one time here today, we'd be remiss in saying that there is a sacrifice to sending your children through a Catholic education, because it might mean one less car for 3 or 4 years. It might mean foregoing the cottage.
Right.
It might mean that the boat's going to have to be put on hold, because there's something greater than those things.
And forgive me, Kathy has 5 children?
Yes.
So she trumps me by 2 and Tom by 3. Maybe she could speak to that.
Yeah.
Well, we just knew that it was very important. In fact, I have 3 kids in college right now.
Reward will be great in heaven.
Well, my son is at Aquinas. He has an award ceremony tonight, and he graduates tomorrow.
Wonderful.
I have a daughter. His twin sister graduates next week.
Are they in the same field?
No. He's in business and she's in nursing, and
wonderful.
She graduates from Valparaiso. And then I have one at St. Mary's College in Notre Dame. So, yeah, and I have 2 at home, 8th grader and a 10th grader. But we have had to sacrifice, but it's okay. We don't feel it as a sacrifice. It's a priority. And I think we all have choices to make, and we make the choices that we need to make for our family. And we have friends that haven't made the same choice, and they're still our friends.
Of course. But let me ask you this, Kathy. Through these choices you've made, this conscious decision to send your children through this beautiful education, I'm willing to bet you it's drawing your family closer.
Yes, absolutely. Because we have the experiences similar to what Ted described as far as the kids praying spontaneous prayer when something occurs, if it's in our family, if it's news that we just heard from, you know, a telephone call or something on the TV that is urgent that needs prayers, and they know how to do that, and I don't have to guide them in that. It's just automatic. And that's what is that's very touching, and that's how I know that St. Mary's has done their job, and my kids have followed what they were supposed to do.
Praise be to God, because, you know, that's, like I said, that's something you can't buy. Mm-hmm. That is something that we learn through, you know, our ancestors and our parents and our grandparents, that we are first of all Catholics, mm-hmm. and we're drawn to that profound understanding of the God who loves us is always with us, and we journey with him. And that's exactly what you're saying. These kids know God's journeying with them. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful thing. So here we are talking about this beautiful journey, but let's talk about St. Mary's, the school, and what's going on there, and Wonderful. What sets you apart, and why this education is so important here, and why this new building is necessary. Who would like to start that out and give us an understanding of what it means?
Well, I will maybe start. I think when you talk about a Catholic education, you have to talk about Christ-centered. St. Mary's is simply not a CCD class. St. Mary's is a school.
You know, and for our listeners, yes. I want you to clarify that when you say CCD, because some people may not know that term.
Well, it's, you know, Catholic education, where you maybe are in another school, and for an hour you go have religious education somewhere.
Right.
I remember leaving Griffin School in Grand Haven, and for 1 hour, or I think it was a week or maybe twice a week, we would get on a bus and we would go to St. Patrick's for religion class.
Did you look forward to it? Or do you recall your experience with that?
You know what? It's always fun when you're young to get on a bus and maybe leave math class and go to St. Pat's and different room. I'm in my 40s now, and I have vivid, wonderful memories of Sister Mary Julianne, who was working at St. Pat's, who was my CCD teacher, Mrs. Koopman. I mean, of course, I have
you
very
must,
fun.
Because you remember
right.
their names.
Right.
That's wonderful.
Wonderful, wonderful people. So now, you know, St. Mary's in any Catholic school is simply not CCD class.
Right.
It is Christ-centered education, math, science, you know, Christ-centered. There is prayer. It is part of your education. It is as vital of education as paper and pencil.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to diminish Catholic education and religion into a piece of paper or a pencil,
right.
But it's that interwoven in the fabric of education, and that's what's wonderful about St. Mary's.
It is.
I can speak on another attribute that St. Mary's just provides, and of course it's the Christ-centered education with the core classes, but when I have four in high, well, three that have graduated from high school and one in high school right now. And when I talk with the teachers and when I talk with the principal and I talk with the other families there, they can identify the St. Mary's students, because those students are very polite. They're very respectful. They're very humble.
Yes.
But they're leaders. They're silent leaders, and some of them are not so silent leaders.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's what's been so rewarding, although I wasn't looking for a reward, because they completed their reward as far as I was concerned. I mean, they went K through 8, and then we chose to, you know, continue high school at a public school. But to me, that was just icing on the cake, because I knew it was the people that they were becoming. It was the people that they became who they were because of the teachers and the guidance that they had. And I had visited St. Mary several times, having as many children as I did at the school. And when I checked in at the office, they would say, oh, sure, you can go to the fourth grade classroom. So I'd knock on the door, and everyone would turn around and say, hello, Mrs. Gagnon. And it's like, oh. I mean, it's just so respectful.
Of course.
So I think that they still want they still have those behaviors that they've learned that are just so important that are going to be life lessons and that they can just take with them throughout.
You know, Kathy, too, I think there's another difference with parents that send their children to a Catholic education is our expectations are higher.
Mm-hmm.
We expect that type of behavior from the students, from our children. Mm-hmm. And when we don't get that, we're disappointed. And like I said, God bless the public education, but they don't have that latitude. They're there to really kind of keep them corralled and kind of give them what they can in an education. But the expectations aren't the same for bringing them into the understanding of the politeness and everything else, too. And that's an important thing in our school.
Deacon Jim, I couldn't agree with you more. The expectations are there. We hold them to a higher standard.
Yeah.
You know what? We make them behave to those standards. And if you don't, there's consequences.
Absolutely. And, you know, because we do, and I sent my children through a Catholic education, not just because of the money, but we are making a sacrifice. And our children need to know that this is not something that every child has the availability. They're really set apart on this. This is a special thing that they have this opportunity in. And you want to enforce in them that how wonderful a gift this is and that please use it and use it wisely.
Right.
You know, and we have to instill that in our children because let me ask you this question of your children going through. Would any of them say they didn't appreciate it?
Absolutely not. No. My two that are graduating from college and my third one that's in college, they are very grateful for St. Mary's, and they credit St. Mary's for their start, for their learning habits or study habits and how they learned, and just they're so grateful for it. And sometimes it's hard at the time, I'll be honest. Sometimes when they're going through it,
of course.
And my eighth grader now, he's ready to move on, but he has gained all that knowledge and learned the expected behaviors, and so he's... You know, he's ready.
Yeah.
And can I tell you that he's so grateful right now for St. Mary's? He loves the families. He loves his friends. He loves the teachers.
Of course.
But he's just looking on to the next step, and it's okay.
And well, he should be.
Yeah.
And well, he should be, because we all have this need for growth and mm-hmm. to move forward in our lives. But now we do it with a different anticipation. Mm-hmm. We do it in the love of the Lord, and we do it for the glory of God. And we know that this has been a gift that he's given us in this education. So... With that being said, it still takes money to do this. It's still a commitment to other people to really kind of dig into those pocketbooks and see the value to this Catholic education. What are you doing as a committee? How do you get the word out on this? You said you have 200 or 300 people. What are they doing behind the scenes to make this happen?
We've had a process that is part of the program that we worked with the Breton Group on. And... You start the process. We started this in September, I think, and they have what they call an advance commitment program. And you go to various parishioners or people in the community that you think could make a contribution to the project, the Mary Seat of Wisdom project.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Where did you come up with that name, first of all, Mary Seat of Wisdom?
That's Father Dan's pet name. He is a Mary Seat of Wisdom. Christ sat on Mary's lap, and that is the seat of wisdom. Right?
You know, and it's funny because I just returned home from Rome, and when I saw the Pieta there, the Mary holding the Christ, you could honestly see that this is the seat of wisdom where he sat.
It is. And, you know, we have one of those three Pietas that were replicas in the States here. There are only three replicas of that made, and one is in front of St. Mary's, right?
Oh, my.
And you can see
the
Savage Street.
Say that? Yes.
It is.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That is beautiful. I mean, it's awe-inspiring when you stand in front of it. It takes your breath away.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just had to...
No. You're good to go. So we have this process. So we went out and we got some what we call advance commitments. Over a period of months, you disseminate information on a scheduled basis. You have newsletters, talk about the project, have town hall meetings, and all in that meantime, you're trying to meet with various people that you think might be able to help with a donation, okay? All building up to a weekend that we call Commitment Weekend.
Okay.
And Commitment Weekend is we scale it down. We only have a couple of masses. We have a meal after the mass for the parish, and we do the ask. Father Dan DePue got up and asked people to commit to this. He was able to come to them and come to the parishioners and say, hey, we have a commitment so far of $891,000 or whatever that number was on that commitment weekend.
Okay.
And so he came to us parishioners, said, parishioners, we have a commitment. It took everybody's breath away. He said, but this is where we got to get to. And, you know, and he talked about the school and what we need to do. And everybody, you know, people then started thinking about and praying about the commitment they were going
to
make.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and when you present it to people in a logical and concise manner and the need, they can understand that. And it sounds like what he did was really bring it to them.
Yes, the whole process did.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I would imagine in the beginning, you probably identified some people in your parish who the Breton group might want to at least target to start the process. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think they did.
I'm sure they did, but it's not equal. It's the old term. We just want a simple, equal sacrifice.
Yep.
We want, yes, there are those out there that have the, capacity to give more than others,
mm-hmm.
but we're not hammering that point.
Right.
We want involvement. And we're very happy to say that we have nearly 60% of our parish involved.
That's important.
In this. That's a wonderful number.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Deacon Jim and your listeners out there, when you're in the restaurant business like I am, I get it. I get when you ask people for money, I get it, because I am inundated with requests for donations.
I'm sure.
And most of them are very misrepresented. They are sent to Mr. Frociano, or they want me to donate some of my world-famous submarine sandwiches. Well, of course, Vercano's doesn't offer those. I get it. Rarely, if ever, do I get to see any results from my donations. It's very hard to even get a letter saying, thank you. As God is my witness here, which I think is appropriate for this radio station.
Absolutely.
You can make a donation to St. Mary's, and you can see the results every single day, and 160 students, and an additional 350 faith formation kids. You can see the results of the fruits of your labor
yep.
every single day at St. Mary's.
Yeah. And you make a good point, is that it's not that we have to see the results, but it certainly is an impetus
right.
to turn around and say, you know what, I'm seeing where my money is being spent, and by the grace of God, it's going to a worthy cause, because you're right. You can get just a phone ringing off the hook for something like you to just continue on to give and give and give without any
right.
return. And that's hard.
How about just a little thank you? Well, you can see. And, I drive by St. Mary's. I'm fortunate to live near there. And you see the kids and you see the student, the teachers and the faculty. I see the results. I'm very, very at peace with my pledge.
Yeah. You know, and I want to make it. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Tom.
If you don't mind, I'd like to interject, because I think I can carry what Ted just said. Last night, we had a couple of receptions.
Okay.
Bishop Wachowiak was there. And it was interesting. We had the principal of a local high school, actually two principals of local high schools come.
Wonderful.
Okay. One of the principals came from the local Catholic high school, and the other principal came from the local public school. And we gave them the opportunity to give a testimonial about what kind of students they have that they get from St. Mary's. And I tell you, in this whole campaign, probably one of the most significant testimonials came from the public high school principal, who said, I wish I could get every student from St. Mary's. He said, he looked at the group of people in this, and he says, you people do not know what you have. He says, the valedictorians, the National Honor Society, the grade point, the athletics. He says, the kids that come from St. Mary's are better than any school I have. Now, this is a principal who, you know what, he was saying this, and he's not afraid to say it publicly. And so, you know what, he is really espousing a school. He's not a Catholic man.
Yeah.
You know what? And so, you know, for him to say that, I just thought was unbelievably powerful.
It is.
It dropped people's jaws. laws last night, because here this guy's, it's voluntary. He's not, you know, we're not coercing him or anything like that. And so, you know, it was just a fantastic testimonial to what we do and our teachers and our staff and the administration at St. Mary's.
And think about this. These kids are probably physically equal to the ones that went to public schools. They probably live in the same type of houses that the kids do in public schools. They go to the same parks and everything else, and they play together. What's different? I mean, when you think about that, we're all pretty much equal and all that. Something is different that brings them to that level. And it's that Catholic formation in that school, that discipline and the expectations raises kids to a higher level. Mm-hmm. And it's the way God created us, that we respond in a different way than a secular understanding of our education. Mm-hmm. And what a powerful testimony from a public school administrator.
It was, principal. He said, the first day of school, he stands out front and he says, Tom, I can pick those kids that came from St. Mary's when they walk through the front door on the first day of school. He says it's just, they hold doors, they pick up trash, they're kind.
Yeah.
You know, yes to the teachers and yes and no, and they speak in complete sentences.
Yeah,
right. You know what he says? They're mature, they're grown up. You know, Kathy, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's just been that was a great testimonial from him. I thought it was fantastic.
And it's an expectation. But I also want to give great praise to the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, most of these people could go elsewhere to make more money. I mean, let's face it, we don't pay them quite as well as a public education. Probably don't even have quite the benefits that the public education has. But we have something much more profound. We have this Catholicism that these people gravitate to. And they have this innate desire within themselves to teach our children. And I think I can't imagine a better teacher than that one is there by choice, not because of the dollars, but because of choice. And I praise God for those teachers, because that is a dedication to them. And you must have some great teachers at St. Mary's.
Yeah, we really do. I sit on the board of directors, and we do a lot of evaluations of the staff, where we hear the evaluations of the staff, and there is not a lot of turnaround of the staff. My children that went through school had the same teachers. I mean, all five of them had the same teachers all the way through, with the exception of a couple, but those teachers are still there now.
Yeah.
And I also think that one of the significant differences at St. Mary's School compared to the public schools is their participation in Mass every week.
Mm-hmm.
So every Friday, mm-hmm. they're at Mass, and they participate. They take turns. The teachers lead them in discussions and guide them in who's going to be doing the different parts of Mass, who's going to be singing, who's going to be lecturing, who's going to be saying the prayers of the faithful. There are just many opportunities, and it's really fun to see at the beginning of the year the children who are more shy, more afraid to get behind the mic at the AMBO, and then at the end of the year, I mean, how far they've come and how far they've grown, and just how they participate with the smiles, and that you just know they're there for the right reason.
Exactly. Yeah. Tom, you and I, you know, I also went to Immaculate Heart of Mary. I remember going to a Mass in the morning at Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Yes, all the time.
Yeah, and it was a formation you not only accepted, but, you know, I hate to say sometimes I'm looking to see my buddies there because you got into Mass in there too, but it was the consistency.
It was. It was. I served Mass all the time.
Yep.
You know what? I remember those days. I still serve Mass today, and I love it. I feel like I'm a kid again. It's not quite like Dr. Seuss, but I just love it.
Well, because you're involved.
Yeah.
And when you say, are you a sacristan or?
No, I'm not. No, I just serve Mass during the week. I go daily to the daily Mass for, you know, sometimes, and I serve Mass.
Okay.
So it's kind of cool.
Wonderful. Wonderful. That's still a great involvement, because it's part of your background and your training.
I need it.
Yeah. We all need it.
Trust me. I probably need it more than all you guys put together.
Ted, in your journey with the Catholic, you're a cradle Catholic.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Said that too. When you're with your children, and obviously Sunday Mass and all that's important for you, they probably are inspired by what you do in this. Well, they're seeing you involved in this, because, you know, not all parents are willing to jump in to this type of pledge and to this type of endeavor. This takes time.
It's kind of cute. My son Max, it was second grade week at Friday morning Mass, and he was going to be the greeter on the microphone, so he was able to go up in the AMBO and make a good morning statement. And mm-hmm. he said to me, Dad, I'm going to be just like you because I've gotten on the microphone so often in regards to this campaign. He says, I get to go up and speak at Mass. You know, he knows he's not going to say he's just like me by being a builder or anyone that knows how to fix a sink that's leaking. But it's very flattering to me. You know, it's hard when you're involved, but you hope that your children can pick up on your involvement at church, like Tom.
Yes.
Tom, his family has been involved in church. Look, he's now a grown adult, still involved in church. Same with me. You hope that your children continue that as well.
Amen. I just want to remind our listeners that this is Deacon Jim Thorndahl here on Holy Family Radio, and I'm with the group of people who are on the campaign for St. Mary's in Spring Lake. They called the campaign his mother, Seat of Wisdom, raising money for their new school that's going to be erected. And we're having a little laugh here because as we sit here looking out the window, we have the window washer watching our interview here. So that's kind of an interesting time right now. But anyway, let's put the pencil to the paper a little bit, because that's really what this is about also, correct, Tom?
Yes, it is.
Because as much as we love our school, as much as we love our students, we still have to have the money come in. And it takes a commitment from a lot of people, and not just the people at St. Mary's. There's other people listening right now who may have a heart for this, and we need to touch them and let them pray and discern if the Lord is calling them to maybe help participate in this campaign. So give us a sense of where we're at with this campaign. What's going on right now for dollars and cents?
We're at $2 million for the campaign right now. This campaign is to collect $2.5 million. Once we have $2.5 million collected, then we can begin construction on the project. Total cost of the project they estimate to be between $4.2 and $5 million somewhere.
Okay.
They think the I talked to one of the construction people, and they think they can get pretty close to four. So if we can get that money in, then we can start doing the financing.
Okay, so then would the parish take on the debt, the remaining debt?
Potentially, but now at that point when you start building, now you get a whole new group of people that you can reach out to that when they see the foundations and things, then they start saying, okay, hey, what do you guys need electronic-wise? What do you need technology-wise?
Okay.
You know what, looks like we've got the parking lots and that excavation all done already. You know what I mean? So those items, some of that stuff is already getting done, and the builder says, hey, people come out of the woodwork. So
yeah, that's wonderful.
You know, we'll see a bunch of it. But hey, we're not afraid to beg for a donation. We have been begging, and I'm not afraid. Because,
that's all right.
You know what? The benefit is the kids and the future of the Catholic Church.
That's right.
It's simple.
That's right. And there's some real honor in going out and really being humble and saying, you know, we need your help. And those listening, I would put that challenge out to you today. St. Mary's needs your help. We're doing a little bit of begging right now. If you've got that extra couple of bucks in your checkbook and you feel compelled to help them build this school, please don't hesitate, because it's going to be for a beautiful, worthy cause to educate our children in our Catholic faith. Kathy, as you sit here and you listen to this dollars and cents, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit overwhelming, can't it?
It can, but you know, I think that we have an obligation to our children and our future families out there that someone sacrificed for my kids to be able to go to St. Mary's School, and I sacrificed to get phase one of the building on with the gathering space and the new kitchen. So it's still my turn to continue with that contribution. And I think it is an investment. I know you can call it a donation, but it really is an investment in our children's future. And my children are gone. I mean, they're not gone. They're done at St. Mary's as of, you know, a few more weeks. My youngest will be graduating from eighth grade. But it's still my obligation as a Catholic Christian to provide that opportunity, that same opportunity that someone afforded me. And I really believe that. So,
do you sense that you will stay on in some type of committees even when your kids are gone?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You continue on the work in the parish there, too.
Sure.
You know, and you mentioned that, I don't know what your school is like, but you say you have a new kitchen. Do you provide lunches for students there through your kitchen?
Yes. We have a hot lunch program.
You have a hot lunch program?
Mm-hmm. Yes. But they also have some great facilities for some entertainment that we do and the funeral committees. It's a top-of-the-art kitchen. They're state-of-the-art, I guess you say.
Spring Lake's a good place to die.
They absolutely.
They serve a great meal.
Right, they do.
Problem is, no, that's all right. But I want to be there to enjoy it. No, but you're right, because we have a great funeral committee too that really puts on a beautiful luncheon for our people, that the parishioners that have passed away, but most of them never get to taste it.
That's right.
No, but that is, it's part of what we do as a culture, as Catholics, is we have that understanding of bring people and bring community together till we can fellowship and reminisce and have those remembrances of
it. It's the central hub for the public school parties and their own fundraisers. Come to our facility.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because they can get a beer.
That's right. Yeah, put a beer in there.
Aren't we fun, Deacon?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Right. We're Catholics. Right. We still play bingo.
That's right.
We still drink a beer periodically.
Drink a beer, smoke a cigar, and kinds of fun things.
Yeah, that's right. So it's who we are. Ted, as you hear these numbers, do you ever get overwhelmed by what's going on?
Well, it seems to be a very methodical, very gradual, very gauged thing. It's not like we are having horrible deadlines to meet, and there's not a lot of drama. This is a very, very peaceful and progressive way that we're going by this campaign. I'm not wired to hear 2, 3, 4, 5 million. I mean, those are numbers that I'm not comfortable with.
Right.
But the numbers almost seem to be insignificant. It is percentages of parishioners that have been involved. Yep. I mean, we're reaching 60% of our parish parishioners that are involved. And again, we see the results of what people did 60, 50, 40 years ago.
Yep.
This new Catholic Education Center will outlive all of us. Mm-hmm. It will. We'll be, like my dad, who founded Fricano, said, we'll be at the great pizza parlor in the sky looking down. And it is not overwhelming. It's just such a good cause that, I mean, Kathy's got wonderful examples of her children who are now in high school who look at the benefits of St. Mary's. Think of those that are 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. Who can still look back and say, wow, what a wonderful education I had at St. Mary's.
Yeah, and those are great memories. I mean, I have great memories of Immaculate Heart of Mary. I don't know about you, Tom.
Oh, fantastic.
I have great memories of Catholic Central, and I have great memories of the people who disciplined me.
Yes.
And I have no regrets from that. And when I was disciplined, I think I needed it.
it was probably overdue. Right.
Yeah. I can
Sister
guarantee.
Robert Ann.
Oh, of course. My knuckles still showing
on
that.
I love that woman.
So here we have a little bit of time left. I would just like to go around the table here and ask you this question. If you were to talk to parents right now, and you are, what would you say to them about a value of a Catholic education and the understanding of a formation and bringing your family closer as a family because of Catholic education? What would you tell them?
Let me start.
Sure.
Here's how I look at this is we are in a time, 2014, where there is temptation everywhere. There is very... there's a lot of hazards out there. If you are allowed to bring your child into a school, and by the way, also get a Christ-centered education, there's just something nice about that. Catholic education, you are solidly educated. Wonderful education.
Yeah.
However, with morals, values, loyalty, integrity, mm-hmm. those things are important. What is the scientific study out there? I don't know the numbers on that, but to those of us that consider Catholic education as an option, you are getting wonderful ways of behavior, not mm-hmm. just education, behavior. And as a dad who had children a little older than average, when I started having children, I wasn't in my early 20s.
Right.
There's just something very nice about that. It is worth considering, I will say that to anyone who asks, and very proudly.
And what you just describe are intangibles,
right,
that you cannot buy.
Right.
Absolutely. Kathy, how about you?
Well, I totally agree with Ted. I don't know that I can add much to that statement, but you can't put a value on Christ-centered education,
right,
like you just said. And it was just important for our family, and just the closeness that it brought us with the prayers, the spontaneous prayers, the talking about the different sacraments and what that meant, and talking about the different prayers, saying the different prayers and what they meant.
Yeah.
And, you know, we learn from the kids also. So it's, you know, you're never too old to learn. Still in Bible studies. I'm still in prayer groups. And, you know, I will be the first one to tell you that I don't know what I don't know, you know.
That's right.
But as far as the Catholic faith, it's just something that doesn't end when you're in eighth grade, when, yeah, you know, Matthew's going to be done with St. Mary's. It continues on with you.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would probably say, that this is not just K through 8, although that's the formation years and that's what they're going to draw from. But
you know, another beautiful thing, Kathy, what you're talking about is even when our families get back together, we can take right back off where we left off,
mm-hmm,
because we're all drawn to that same understanding of God and our church, and that always keeps us in communication.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless if we go into this direction, this career, that career, we always come back to what knits us together, and that's our Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is a profound understanding of family. Family, not only your immediate family, but the family of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tom, how about you? Yeah, Deacon Jim, I tell you, we talked about this as the family because I knew that it would consume about a day a week for about a 6-month period,
yeah,
to do this project as Father Dan requested. Ted and I had talked about it. And so we told the family that my wife, Kim, and daughters Em and Sophie, and we talked about it, and you know, the one of the daughters says, "Why, we don't go to school there anymore. What do you want to do that for? That doesn't matter to us." And the other daughter understood, you know, it completely, and you know what, I said, "This is going to be historic, and one day, wherever you are, California, New York, France, somebody's going to have a similar project.
That's
and
right.
You're obligated to do it. And when it's going to be historic wherever you are, whether it's Grand Rapids, Spring Lake, you know, it doesn't matter."
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's something we've talked about and tried to impress upon the girls that, yeah, you know, that's what's important. It's what matters.
What you're saying, it becomes a commitment of the heart.
It is.
Yeah, it's a commitment of the heart to really build the kingdom of God. So we've got to this point. Now we need to know how we contact you, how we support you. Who do we call? What's an email? How do we get hold of you?
StMarysSpringLake.com, and the telephone is 616-842-1702.
You got a look on your face. You might not be sure.
Yeah, I'm quite sure that is. 842-1702.
Okay.
You can call there if anybody wanted to make any sort of commitment.
It may be StMarys.org.
St. Marys.org.
I mean, maybe the
if
St. Mary's Spring Lake.
Google it.
Please,
and you'll be there.
You know, we were three people who, out of 200 more, that were just simply asked. 10 years ago, nobody said in 10 years we're gonna ask you. It's a calling.
Yes, it is. And I have for safe, simple, online giving that you control, visit the website at www.stmarysspringlake.org.
There you go.
And there you go. You can get on that website. I'm encouraging all you listening today to take the challenge. Help St. Mary's and Spring Lake to really reach their goal, because you know this is an endeavor that is so important to them. It's so important to our children. It's so important to us as a Catholic community, because it really is an understanding that we live in community, not as a rock unto ourselves, but we live in formation in one another and loving one another. I want to thank all of you for being here. I want to thank Tom Conmer for being here, Ted Fricano for being here. We're going to have pizza after this, I know.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Or caramel corn.
Yeah, yeah, right,
that's,
yeah,
in the office over there.
Gagnon, I want to thank you for being here. It's been my pleasure to have you here, and I pray that your parishioners will continue to respond as they have to you and really make this a showcase, not only for Spring Lake, but for the Lord, that he can really be a place where we can honor him and worship him. So thank you all for being here. I wish you all the best.
Deacon Jim, we can't thank you enough.
You know what, and Deacon and the listeners out there, thanks for listening and just kind of sharing. Thank you for allowing us to share.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for all your testimonies, and I just want to say may God bless. This is Deacon Jim Thornhill, Holy Family Radio, wishing you a blessed day. Thank you.
You've been listening to Living the Catholic Life with your host, Deacon Jim Thornhill, on Holy Family Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.